Mark, just thank you so much for sharing today, and especially on the day where we're also even praying for some grandpa prayers right now.
Amen.
I know you're awaiting a grandchild soon, mm-hmm. hopefully not super, super soon. Mm-hmm. So we are praying with you about that. So thank you, Mark, for lifting up God's word today. We appreciate you.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to share. So I've been thinking a lot about the topic that I'm going to share with you this morning, but it starts out by focusing a little bit on one of these. You set yourself scrolling on your social media platform of choice, and you set yourself a limit of 5 minutes. Well, 50 minutes later, you're still scrolling, and Pastor Andrew's been talking about that, but you're just about ready to shut it down and go on to your homework or your work at the office, hopefully not. When a friend on the social media platform that you particularly inhabit posts what you can only call is a rant. I know you've never seen those. I know you've never shared one of those. But it's on some hot button issue. And as you read it, you get more and more infuriated. You fill in the blank. You are ready to set him straight. This is not only stupid, it's uninformed, it's offensive. I mean, you've got a whole list. And you're ready to hit reply. Wait. Just wait. Before you hit send, and the entire internet gets an earful, or maybe you're a little more passive-aggressive like me, and you just hit speed dial and call somebody that you know agrees with your point of view. Wait. I hope you will listen to what God has to say to us this morning about the subject of listening. Now, today is the 18th of October, and so we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 18 a little bit this morning. And so if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there with me. We're going to look at verse 13 and 15 initially this morning. But Andrew has been walking us through Proverbs, and we've been learning about what does it mean to live wisely. And so, and one of his themes that he's been repeating is that he wants us to consume less and what? Think more. I'd like to suggest a corollary to that this morning, and that is that we speak less and we listen more. That we speak less and we listen more. And we're going to do that as we look at four ways, I believe, and this might sound kind of radical, but I believe there's four ways that simply learning to practice listening can transform our lives. It can change us. It really can. Listening is essential. Throughout the scripture, how often do you read, "Give ear to what I say"? Heed the words. Listen. We are over and over, we are encouraged to listen. And you say, well, that's simple enough. The problem is, in the world we're living in, we are living in a cacophony of voices on social media, on cable TV, on podcasts, on opinionated friends, on TV news programs. The voices are coming from all over. And the question that we have to realize is that if I'm really going to listen, and I'm not just talking about listening sort of, I'm talking about active listening, really listening to what the person is saying. That can be an exhausting task. So this morning, I'd just like to take the few minutes that we have together to quiet our minds and open our hearts and listen. Listen to the word of the word of God. Chapter 18, verse 13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame, the writer writes. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise, I like that, the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Let me just say that first one again. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. It is foolishness and disgrace. And then in verse 20 of chapter 19, we read, listen to the advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. The first way that active listening, or listening as I'm going to refer to it, transforms us is not only what it prevents, but what it promotes. And the first thing is that it prevents foolishness and it promotes wisdom. Listening protects me from doing stupid things. Okay? Listening prevents me from doing foolish things. Listening is powerful in that way. There's an old saw that goes something like this. God gave you two ears and one mouth. Think about it. Two ears, one mouth. Think about it. There's the several translations that I came across that I thought were helpful in sort of amplifying what this is saying. And if we have those, you can put them up on the screen. The first one is from the NIV. It says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. That's pretty close to what the ESV says. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. The second one that I kind of liked is the Good News Version. The Good News Version. And it says, it's got a little spice to it. It says, listen before you answer. If you don't, you are stupid and insulting. Thank you for the amen. A third translation that I really do like is from the New Living. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Spouting off kind of captures the flavor of answering before we've listened. See, each of these helps sort of fill in what it is that we're talking about this morning. Wisdom is not merely facts and information. We've talked about that. Andrew's said that several times. We are drowning in data, but we are desperate for wisdom in our culture. It is not merely information and facts, but knowledge informs our decision. And so it's important that we listen, but who do we listen to? Right? Isn't that the question? Who do I listen to? See, listening at its very core is acquiring knowledge. It's taking in information that I can make wiser choices, or I can make better choices. The scripture is over and over saying, slow down, listen, gather facts, and listen to those who know what they're talking about. Now, let me just give you an illustration of that. I spent probably a better part of 20 years, earlier years, in the construction industry. I have drawn blueprints. I have estimated blueprints. I have built houses. I've done remodel work. And if I can look at a set of prints, I can give you a pretty good idea if you have a remodel project or a repair that you need done. I can give you a pretty good idea what you might need to do, or how to go about it, or what's not possible. Okay, I can do that. But if you put a brain scan in front of me and offer and tell me, I want you to give an authoritative description of what needs to go on in a neurosurgery procedure, and I did, that would be worse than foolish, wouldn't it? I don't know anything about neurosurgery. I don't anything know about radiology. Men and women, it's not that we aren't supposed to listen to people who don't know what they're talking about. We listen to them because it's respectful. We try to understand their position, but we listen to people that are wise because they understand or they have knowledge of the situation. Not listening to wise sources is just as dangerous as listening to sources that are foolish. I mean, you can't say, well, it was on the web, it must be true, right? You see, when we don't listen to wisdom, we don't listen to those that are knowledgeable about life, we default. We default to our own pride and our own ego. And then we only listen to the people that agree with us. And men and women, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. And here's why. See, we live in a time when what is true, the confusion over what is true around us has never been greater because of all these voices that we need to cut through. So wisdom begets wisdom, and foolishness begets more foolishness. Is what this person is saying, is it biblically sound? Is this person a person of integrity and knowledgeable of the situation? Do I need to listen to them? I would say if they fit that category, that would be the place I would begin. Not that you don't listen to others, but we need a filter to begin to sort that out. And here's why. The voice that I need to listen to often is the voice I don't agree with. Let that sink in. The voice I need to listen to most at times is the voice I don't agree with, particularly if they are speaking from a place of wisdom. It prevents foolishness and it promotes wisdom. The second thing it does, though, is it prevents ignorance as it promotes understanding. Proverbs 22 writes, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you," if you internalize these principles. If all of them are ready on your lips, get that? If we allow wisdom to sink in and internalize, then we're going to be able to speak with God's perspective rather than just my own reaction and my own prejudices and biases. So let's get real. Not all opinions are created equal. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. It's a free country. But not every opinion is right. And so the question then becomes, okay, who do I listen to? And what this is suggesting is that we incline our ears to the wise. You know, in James chapter 1, James writes, "If any of you lacks what? Wisdom. Let him ask of God, and he will give it to you generously." Now, how does that happen? Think about that. How does that happen most of the time? Does God just sort of drip fairy dust down on me and I have wisdom? No, you know what happens? God's God and he can do what he wants to do, okay? And he can give you a word of knowledge. He can deliver it to you. I believe that. But you know how I believe he does it most of the time? Is he brings wise people into your life. He brings people who are wise And the encouragement here is to listen to them. So who are the wise people in your life? And Andrew's asked us this several times. And he said, look to your left, look to your right. And some of you are going, yeah, but I still don't know who's wise. Who are the wise people? And if no one comes to mind, then here's a couple clues I think you can count on. What are wise people like? Well, the first thing I would say to you is that wise people are humble. There's humility. That's almost invariably true of every wise person I've known. They were humble. And what being humble means is they have a realistic assessment of who they are. They understand their weaknesses. They understand that that they're limited in some ways. The word humble has the root of the word humus, soil, dirt. We are all made of the same stuff. Now, I don't know if you can see this as clearly as maybe I'd like, but I've got a tray here full of soil that I dug up on the top of the hill here in Fancher. And this is what the soil looks like. And you look at it and you go, how in the world can anything grow in that? And the answer is you add enough fertilizer and anything will grow on a brick. And that's how they grow your grass and everything else up there. But this is where we all start out. But what happens to us is this. Life happens to us. Divorce happens to some. We have joys, we have pains. We go through times of great stress and we think we're gonna break. We have great times of laughter and joy. And you know what humus is? Humus is the decomposition of organic matter into the soil over time. And you know what it comes out? Like this. It's dark. And it's rich, and it's full of nutrients. And those nutrients are able to be shared. You go from this, which you might call that's maybe borderline foolish or at least naive, to this, where you have something, really something, to give people. They're humble. A second thing they are is they know what they don't know. You ever met a fool? Pretty much all the time, a fool is somebody who doesn't know what they don't know. They know what they don't know. Thirdly, they tend to be readers. They tend to be people, wise people tend to read, and they read widely. And I would encourage you to read. You can read off your phone or off your tablet or whatever, but I just encourage you to read things that stretch your thinking. Reading is a type of listening, okay? The fourth thing is that they're respectful. Wise people are respectful people. They realize that nobody is a nobody to God, and so they treat every human being the way they would Jesus. Do this as unto the least of these, and you do it unto me, Jesus said. Fifth thing is that they're secure in their identity in Christ. They don't need to prove anything to you. Wise people are secure in who they are. They don't need to impress you. And the last thing I would say in identifying wise people is they don't always have to be right. They don't have to get the last word in every argument. They understand that life has some mysteries that we will never completely understand. Unlike a fool, in Proverbs 18:2, it says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing their opinion. Okay. You don't always have to be right. Only a fool thinks he doesn't have any room to grow. It prevents ignorance as it promotes understanding. It requires understanding of the world. So it prevents foolishness, promotes wisdom. Prevents ignorance, promotes understanding. Third thing it does is it prevents shame as it promotes folly. Remember verse 13, it says, it's a folly and a shame. Proverbs 15, 31 also says this. Proverbs 15, verse 31 says, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof. Did you get that? The voice you don't want to hear when it comes from the right source is life-giving reproof. It's correction. And the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Will dwell among the wise. You'll fit in. It requires a willingness to hear what we don't want to hear. Now, I get it. Some of you have been verbally abused. You've been torn down. You've been beat up. You've been led to believe that you are nothing. And that's not what I'm talking about. There's a voice, you know, recognizing that voice is a critical skill in our life. And acquiring wisdom is one of the ways that we filter that voice, that we begin to say, oh, I get where that's coming from. This isn't about me. This is about them. But active listening, here's another voice. We begin to develop an ear. The longer you spend listening to this, the more you begin to develop an ear for what is true. The less time you spend in this, the less you hear what is true. Shame leads you to believe that you are less than everybody else. In fact, Sandra Wilson, who wrote the book Released from Shame, says that shame is a strong sense of being uniquely and hopelessly different and less than any other human being. It is not redemptive. It is a listening to a voice that is not healing. Now, sometimes the voice of the shepherd, we learn to hear the shepherd's voice, and sometimes when we recognize that voice, it's a voice that is correcting. It's a voice that we may not want to hear. But the correction that comes from that place and from God is full of life, because it is a voice that's saying, be careful. There's danger up ahead. There's something in your path you need to correct course on. And if you don't change, this is going to happen. It is redemptive and healing. It is not destroying. In other words, it is, as the text says in verse 31 of 15, it is life-giving. It is reproof that gives life. It is reproof. It is the wound of a surgeon that is making a correction in our life and giving us life as a result of it. It's preventing further damage. Listening is not quietly formulating my rebuttal to whatever the person across from me is saying. Okay? Listening says to that person, whether they hear it or not, is I care about you. I care enough to listen even to your rants, even to your statements that I disagree with. Because there might be something that they say that I actually need to hear. Listening says, I care enough for you to risk your anger and your displeasure at me because I love you and I want the best for you. Doesn't mean you have to agree with their point of view, because often we don't. I like to put it this way. Listening is non-physical affection. Listening is non-physical affection. And you know what? It is perfect for social distancing. It's perfect for social distancing. Because we're expressing to them, I do care about you. Whether you agree or not, am I willing to listen? It prevents foolishness and it promotes wisdom. It prevents ignorance and it promotes understanding. It prevents shame and it promotes life. There's one more. It prevents anger and it promotes peace. James chapter 1 again said, "Know this, beloved brethren, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." There's intention in that progression. Listen. Listening, if we don't listen, we will speak too quickly, and if we speak too quickly, it generally just feeds our anger. Imagine the pain and the suffering that we would avoid in our personal life, in our family life, in our national life. If God's people, however, whatever percentage of genuine Christians are in this country today, if we all began to do that, to listen first, to speak more slowly, and then to even more slowly get angry. Imagine the pain we would avoid. James is talking to people who were in pain. They were persecuted. They were in trials. They were afraid. They were anxious. They were uncertain about what the future was. And everybody was telling them, this is the biggest election of our life. Maybe it is. But as Tony said, that's not the primary thing, is it? The thing is, what I'm saying is that people, when they're in this angry phase, wound people. Wounded people wound people. And listening causes me to stop long enough to listen. See, what happens generally is we do just the opposite. We are quick, we are slow to speak, slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger, which is just the reverse. And if you don't believe that, you haven't been on Twitter lately. I was reading an article that said we are in a time in our life as a country where people are experiencing what the writer called touch starvation. Touch starvation. The endorphins that we get when we are in intimate contact with people. We're able to shake their hands. We're able to put our arm around them. We're able to give them a hug. And right now, that's a thing that is we're being encouraged not to do out of love. Touch starvation is what happens. You see, we're between a virus and a hard place, aren't we? We're between a virus and a hard place. And we are isolated, and what that's created is lack of margin. We don't have the endorphins that get released when we're able to touch one another and hold one another and encourage one another that way are not there. And so the irritations and those endorphins help us keep the irritations that come every day at bay. And because they're not there, the peace that passes all understanding isn't as easy to come by. Listening can blunt the onslaught of touch starvation in your life because it is non-physical affection. It prevents anger and it promotes peace. Is there anybody in the room who would say, I don't want more wisdom, I don't want more understanding, I don't want more life, and I don't want more peace? Of course not. We all want that. And the voice we need to listen to most is God's.
That's right.
It's God's voice. He's whispering in your ear today, grace and truth. I love you more than you can possibly imagine. You are my precious child. Fear not. Fear not. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. See, when we listen to his voice and we give respect and concern to all those people that their voices are coming at us as well, But especially when we hear his voice, then that will bring us to a place in our life where we'll be ready to click send. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for the ability to listen and to love people the way you would have us love. I pray, Father, that we would take these truths to heart this morning, that the world would be changed because we are changed and transformed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.